Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. Today, our theme is Good News of Christmas Morning. You know, our show is called Good News in the Morning. And there are two mornings of all of history that are remarkable for the good news of those mornings. The morning of Jesus' birth is one of them. And of course, the morning of his resurrection is another. I want to read to you from the Word of God, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, about that first morning, that evening and that morning when Christ was born. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God. Praise be to God. Now would you listen to me with a carol by Carolyn Ahrens from her Christmas album, An Irrational Season. This is the song, Come and See, which invites us to come and see what God has done in that stable.
Sweet and strange, it's the great love of God in see the star, it will light our way. Hear the song, hurry to the place. If his mama says that it's all right, we can see the face of God tonight. Come and see, he is laying in the straw. He's a new baby boy who's the hope of us all. Come and hear, it's a simple, sweet and strange. It's the great love of God in the cry of a babe. It's the great love of God in the cry of a
The good news of Christmas morning is good news indeed. It's not just about a baby being born, it's about the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary and given to us for our salvation. You know, from the very beginning of the message about Jesus, which begins with the prophecies of the Old Testament and spread throughout the testimony of the entire Scriptures, is the message that Jesus didn't just come to be born. He came to give his life. And so as we celebrate Christmas morning, it always needs to be celebrated in the light of Jesus' gift. He said the Son of Man didn't come to earth to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, how can we say that Jesus dying is good news? It's good news because he accomplished what he came to do. He came to take upon himself the burden of our sin. In this conflict that has spanned the ages from the first human to the present day, this conflict between humanity and God, God has decided to take the burden of pain, of sorrow, of wickedness and evil. He's decided to take that burden upon himself. He's decided that he's going to cancel the debt that has accumulated in our lives, and in fact in the history of all humanity. He's decided that he will bear the brunt of that. And he invites us to come to him and to receive the life that overcomes all that pain, all that sorrow, that overcomes death itself. What good news this is. What good this news this is for you and for me. We so often find ourselves burdened, and here at this season of Christmas, we really get the message of joy, don't we? Last week, I was participating in the Capital City Chorus's Christmas show, and it's just a delight to hear again and to be able to sing again all the stories, all the familiar celebrations of Jesus' love and Jesus' grace. It's wonderful in your churches that you're celebrating through services of carols and singing, that you're having Christmas pageants and cantatas, that you're finding all kinds of ways to just feel the joy and the love and the grace that God has given. Isn't it a gift to be able to gather together with others and to feel the warmth and joy that God would so much intend for us to always have? But let's not forget that there are many people, even in their relationship with God, who find this time of year lonely. How is it good news for them that others are gathered with family, that others are celebrating with gifts and abundance, when they themselves are going through loneliness or financial difficulty or even sickness and the onset of death? How is this good news? It's good news that God overcomes all these things, that someday things will be different. But I'd like to challenge you, our listeners, and challenge myself with the challenge of the gospel, that we should make this gospel good news for others by offering our love, our encouragement, our generosity in helping those who still are having trouble receiving this message of Christmas. Whether it's trouble emotionally because of the circumstances they're in, whether it's a weakness in their faith that they're finding it difficult to trust, or whether it's a physical or other circumstantial thing that is making their life troublesome at this time of year. Let's ask ourselves, in fact, better yet, let's ask God, how can we help someone else make this Christmas a Christmas of good news? I'm sure you can think of people, if you just take a little time to pray and ask God to reveal them to you, people who really could use an extraordinary gesture. And by extraordinary, I don't mean something grandiose, but something that perhaps you wouldn't normally do. Maybe it's making a telephone call that you've been putting off. Maybe it's just sending a card to someone you haven't written to in a long time. Maybe it's doing something more than just the perfunctory Christmas greeting and giving yourself the opportunity to see what's behind someone's response when you say, "How are you doing?" And they say, "Oh, I'm fine, thank you." This Christmas can be good news for more people. This Christmas must be good news for more people, because all that we do to celebrate it as Christians is so different than what the world does to celebrate Christmas. The world seeks to please itself with abundance of gifts, with abundance of food, with meeting their old friends and their family and drinking and eating and being merry. Well, I'm sure you're doing that as well. But isn't the point of Christmas to go beyond that and to make this season a season of giving, not just to people that will give back, but to the people who are not capable of giving back? Jesus taught us as much when he showed us how he was living his life, and when he taught us what the meaning of the law really was. So we can make Christmas good news for others, and we have a calling to make it good news for others. And as our hearts are being transformed by Christ, we become people who find our happiness not in pleasing ourselves, but in being a blessing to others. Is that the change that God is working in your life? Is that the difference that Christmas is making for you? Let's think about that as we listen to the beautiful hymn, "Silent Night," sung by the Cape Breton Chorale. And as we think about this beautiful hymn, let's think about the difference that Jesus Christ has made in our lives.
Thank you.
Now, I want to change tack just a little bit at this point and talk to you a bit about the meaning of Christmas and the sensibility of Christmas. I know that in this day and age, there's so much attack on the historic record of Christmas and the historic record of Jesus Christ and the meaning of his life. There are people who dispute every miraculous thing. There are people who dispute the very nature of God. And Christmas reminds us that God has made it very clear what his nature and his power is. He's shown us that he is a very, very great God. And he's shown us that even though he spans the heaven, and the psalmist can say the earth is his footstool, nevertheless, the psalmist can also say, what is man that you are mindful of him? There was a book written back in the 60s, I believe, by J.B. Phillips, and he said, your God is too small. The message of that book was basically that God is sometimes seen by people as very, 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 very parochial, very, very small, that God doesn't really change their lives, that God isn't really interested in the big things, that sometimes God can almost seem like a national mascot or just a repository for your own opinions and attitudes. And I think J.B. Phillips was right to say to some people, their God is too small. But when we look at the Christmas scene, we see that for some people, their God is too big. Now, what do I mean by that? People have become overawed by the discoveries of science, and they believe themselves to be the first generation or one of the most recent generations to ever know how immense the universe is and how small we are. When you take a look at the expanse of space and some of the reconstructions of the scale of the galaxy, it's true that our solar system doesn't even show up as being a very small point of light that sometimes doesn't even make for a pixel on a photograph. The Earth is extraordinarily small in the vast expanse of space, and some people say, God is so big and amazing, it's ridiculous to think that he would be concerned about what happens on this little dust ball. Is God too big to consider us made of dust on this little speck of dust going around a minor star in an ordinary galaxy? Is God too big to love us? Well, the gospel says, no, God is not too big to love us. God is not too great to notice what's going on in this little corner of the universe, which is ours. In fact, the gospel tells us that God is extraordinarily interested in what's happening here in our lives. It is amazing. It's hard to believe, but it's the truth of God. It's funny that even children's stories recognize that size really isn't that important. You remember Dr. Seuss's story, Horton Hears a Who? Now there was a small and insignificant little thing, a whole world able to exist in a speck of dust on a little flower, and nobody around seemed to take any notice of them, except for one. And oddly enough, the one who noticed was the biggest one of all, Horton the elephant. Isn't that a wonderful illustration of how God sees us and sees the world? We, in our pride and in our bigness, we don't notice the little things. We think that we're too important for the small details. We often dismiss people who seem less important. But God isn't like that. God isn't that kind of big. God is able to reach out to us and love us and pay attention to each one of us. God is a personal God who reaches down, who recognizes his own creation and realizes that though he made us out of dust, he gave us his own spirit, his own life, and made us beings capable of responding to him and being loved by him and responding in love to him. What a great God we have. But don't let God be too big so you think that he doesn't care about your life. God has shown us in Christ this wonderful truth, and he's made it available to us in the ordinary things that people can experience. You know, ours is not a philosophy that describes the characteristics of God out of a vacuum like armchair philosophers. Ours is a series of conclusions drawn from the things that God has done. That he delivered his people Israel through the Red Sea. He gave them the law on Mount Sinai. He helped them through generations and generations of oppression and trouble and struggle. He purified a people for himself. And he sent Jesus not as some kind of ghost or some kind of angel, but a human being like us, so that we would know without a doubt that God knows our state. He knows our need. In fact, Hebrews, the letter that is written in the New Testament called Hebrews, is an astounding declaration that we have a high priest now in heaven who knows our weaknesses. He's not a God who's too big. He's a God who sympathizes with us and knows our need. He demonstrated his power so that we could know that God was with him. He showed that he was filled with love by actual acts of compassion, not just speaking words. And he made the ultimate sacrifice, giving his life for us so that we could know. God has taken great, great efforts to reveal to us in ordinary, physical, material events that we can look to the eyewitnesses and understand that they have seen that God is not too big to consider us. Think of the words of Peter in his letter to the church when he describes that he didn't tell made-up stories, old wives' tales, when he declared the gospel to the church that was now receiving his letter. In fact, he declared what his eyes had seen and his ears had heard when he heard the voice from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." God the Father himself deigned to reveal in an unmistakable fashion to Peter and James and John that he was with Jesus, that God is not too big to love us. I want to encourage you to think this Christmas about the fact that if your God is too big to fit in the manger, he's not the God that made the universe. If your God is too grand and grandiose to care about the individual person, he's not the God that came to us in Jesus Christ. Many people say, well, all gods are the same, but far from it. Here is a God who loves us. He is the only God. But don't make the mistake of thinking his character and his love are anything other than the character and love of Jesus Christ. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who reaches out to save you. This is the God who calls you now to turn to him in faith. This Christmas, receive this good news that there is a God who's not too big to love you. Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for the good news of Christmas. Thank you for your love. Lord, receive us, fill us with your Spirit, and lead us into the life that you have given in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program and don't forget to visit our website. You will find several of our programs available on podcasts. Now, as at the conclusion of this program, would you listen with me to Joy to the World, sung by the University of Manitoba Singers. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.